Hi, I'm Olivia Lynch, and with me today are Rob Sneckenberg and Christian Curran. We're quickly coming up on the end of the government's fiscal year, which can be one of the busiest times of the year for procurements. To help you navigate this busy time and maximize your opportunities for work both now and in the future, today we're going to cover some of the most common questions we receive about debriefings. Rob, take us away.
The first issue we'll cover is the most basic. What is a debriefing? And a simple answer is that it's an opportunity for offerors to learn how their proposals were evaluated and how they can improve their proposals in the future. When a debriefing is required, and we'll get to that in a moment, FAR 15.505 and 15.506 describe the specific information that agencies can and cannot provide offers in the pre- and post-award context. The specific information you'll receive will depend on the agency. Some agencies, such as NASA, provide more information than others. But in a typical post-award debriefing, you can expect to learn the significant weaknesses or deficiencies in your proposal, the overall price and technical rating for your proposal and the awardees, and a summary of the agency's rationale for award. By contrast, you typically won't receive a point-by-point comparison of your proposal and the awardees, or any information about the awardee's unique and potentially trade secret technical approach. Also, you'll receive even less information in a pre-award debriefing, since the source selection process would still be ongoing. One final point on what a debriefing is. A common misconception is that only unsuccessful offers can receive post-award debriefings. That's not true. Since the point of a debriefing is first and foremost to help you improve future proposals, awardees can receive debriefings too, and we encourage all awardees to do so.
Thanks, Rob. With that background, let's turn to some trickier issues. The question we hear perhaps most often is whether the agency is required to provide a debriefing. The answer here will depend on the type of procurement. The regulations Rob described come from FAR Part 15, which covers competitive negotiated acquisitions. If your procurement is conducted under FAR Part 15, or if it uses FAR Part 15 competitive procedures, then your debriefing will usually be required. Similarly, FAR Part 16505B6 expressly requires agencies to provide debriefings when a task or delivery order award exceeds $5.5 million. By contrast, there is no requirement for a debriefing in GSA Federal Supply Schedule acquisitions conducted under FAR Subpart 8.4. In such procurements, the regulations only require that the agency provide a brief explanation for its award decision. Now, these are some of the basic rules, but whether a debriefing is required can be a very nuanced analysis. We've been involved in a number of protests where this was a threshold issue on which everything turned. If you have questions about whether your debriefing is required, please give us a call.
The next set of questions we see all revolve around timing. When must you request your debriefing? When must the agency provide it? And how does that affect your timing for filing a protest? First, you must request your debriefing within 3 days of being notified of your exclusion from the competition, be that your exclusion from the competitive range or notice that another company received the award. As a practice tip, we recommend that you reflexively request a debriefing immediately whenever you receive such notification. Your request should be in writing, but it doesn't need to be anything formal. It can be a simple email saying that you request a debriefing. The only catch is that in the pre-award context, you need to specifically request a pre-award debriefing. Second, when must the agency provide your debriefing? In general, the answer is as soon as practicable. That will, of course, depend on the agency's schedule, and particularly at this time of year, it could take weeks. You can't control when the agency is available, but be sure not to delay the scheduling at all on your end. For example, if the agency offers multiple days for a debriefing, be sure to take the first date offered. Third, how does the debriefing affect your timing for filing a protest? The short answer here is that under CICA and GAO's bid protest regulations, a timely requested and required debriefing tolls your protest clock. So that means you can protest within 5 days of your debriefing and still get the automatic stay under CICA, or you can protest to GAO within 10 days of receiving your debriefing and be timely there, although you would not get the stay at that point. The key to remember is that there's numerous pitfalls. Your debriefing must both be timely requested and be required. So it's important to consult counsel if you have any questions.
Finally, one last question we want to address is how DoD's new post-award extended debriefing procedures change the analysis we've discussed so far. In short, they don't change anything, but they do create a number of new traps to avoid. Specifically, Under the FY2018 NDAA, after receiving a post-award debriefing and a DoD procurement, you may submit additional questions within 2 business days, and then the agency must respond within 5 business days. This process can keep your debriefing open longer and thus toll your protest clock. But again, there are pitfalls to keep in mind. First, just like under the regular process, you must strictly follow all timing requirements. Don't miss any deadlines or voluntarily agree to any delay, or else your debriefing might not be required. Second, know what responses you're entitled to and what additional information the agency may volunteer but isn't necessarily required. For example, even after your debriefing has technically closed, the agency could offer to provide you additional information. That's great, but it doesn't toll your protest clock. Once the debriefing is closed, your clock is running. Finally, know when you're entitled to an extended debriefing and when you're not. The new debriefing procedures only apply in procurements conducted by DoD components. So even if the procurement is ultimately for a DoD entity, but is conducted by a non-DoD entity, then the extended procedures might not apply. There has historically been significant confusion over the similar issue of different thresholds for protesting DoD versus civilian task order awards. And GAO has emphasized that the applicable threshold depends on the agency conducting the procurement, not the agency that the ultimate goods or services are for. A similar analysis would likely apply here. So again, this is an issue that you'll need to carefully consider and consult counsel if necessary.
That's right, and that's a very important point, Rob. We hope this has been helpful, and if you have any questions about your debriefings, whether you're entitled to them, how to make the most of them, or how to preserve your protest rights through using them, please give us a call. We're happy to address any questions you may have. Until next time, thanks for listening.
The All Things Protest podcast is presented by Kroll and Mooring and hosted by Olivia Lynch, Rob Sneckenberg, and Christian Curran. You can find the materials discussed today on Kroll.com or on our blog, The Government Contracts Legal Forum.